Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings.
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
5 in Edmonton, hour number 2, Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Oilers Now brought to you by Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Do you want to mention guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Edmonton owned and operated. Open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. Head down to 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Brendan, Maggie, Taylor, and the staff at Roost Chris that Oilers Now sent you. Momentarily, we'll hook back up with Mark Spector for the Horses and Horse Racing Alberta, presenting the 91st running of the Canadian Derby this Sunday, September 27th. Century Mile. Fan access limited, but you can watch and wager online at hbibet.com. Just before we go to Spec, we're going to go to the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Ashley Fine Floors providing winning results for over 35 years. Bob, you sound like a homer, which you should be. You say in one moment that the Oilers have two of the top players in the league, yet the coach should be a Coach of the Year candidate. Sounds like a double standard. It's not that the Oilers didn't have a number of years with first-round picks and some of them number one overall. No, actually, it's not a double standard to say that the Oilers have two of the best players in the world and that Dave Tippett should have merited consideration to be Coach of the Year. The Oilers are not deep. They lack depth. And Dave Tippett had the Oilers firmly in a playoff position. If any team had an argument about the 12-team playoff versus maybe a 10-team or, the 5 versus 12 scenario, it was Edmonton. I mean, they were in a great spot to claim second in the division, the Pacific Division. The league had gone divisional formats, and Dave Tippett played a major part in that because he propped up a team that was devoid of depth in their bottom six forwards in particular by virtue of the work that he did in the play by on the power play and on the PK. Mark Spector, do you agree or disagree with that assessment?
Well, it's a good question. I get the special teams argument. You know, Tippett had the best special teams in the league, largely coached by assistant coaches, but he's the head man and he gets a lot of responsibility. But no, he's not my coach of the year in the whole league. You know, Glenn Sather never won that trophy, correct?
I think he actually won it the year they didn't win the cup, 85-86. I'd have to check off the top of my head.
I don't think he ever won it because I think he fell prey to the, well, you got Gretzky and Messi and Curry and Fear. How could you be coach of the year? So, you know what? Listen, I think all of these trophies are awesome, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, all of these Art Rosses and all of these hearts and the Oilers are.
He won, Mark,
you know
just
what?
For
one trophy that matters out there. And Draisaitl talked about it yesterday. He says, I'll give them all back. Right?
There you
I'll
go.
Give them all back for Stanley
sure.
Cup. That's the trophy that matters in this town, and that's the trophy they're furthest away from.
Glenn Sather won the Jack Adams in 85-86 as the NHL's Coach of the Year after the Oilers had won the two Cups and then got bounced up, obviously, by Calgary in 7 games in a series, which at that time some pundits suggested that the Oilers were out-coached in by Bob Johnson. So, there you have it. Just like we had people back in 1982, Mark, I remember saying that the Oilers needed to trade Grant Fear because they lost L.A. and he gave up too many goals. So,
yeah.
Hey, you know what I mean? That's that. Here's a concern I have for the team next year. I'll be frank with you, okay? I don't think they can get back to the level that they're at special teams-wise. Why would I think they could get back to having the best combined special teams in 40 years? So their 5-on-5 play has to get better. They have to find a couple guys to prop up their 5-on-5. To me, it is a little bit personnel-related. Well, I'll throw that out there right now for our listeners. They can text us on the Ashley Fine Flores text line, 780-496-0063. Knowing that it's going to be unlikely for Edmonton to match what they did on special teams this year, are you concerned about the Oilers 5v5 play next season? Do they need to bring in better personnel if possible? Give us a rip. Text us 780-496-0063. Mark Spector, you have the floor.
Oh, yeah. They need better depth players for sure. You know, we're always worried about, they need a top defense. Like, first of all, let's talk about their defense. Their defense doesn't have a number one defenseman on it, right? They're a group of 2 through 4s. That they're trying to make do, but they sure could use a stud back there. They do not have that player. They do not have a better defense than the team on the other side of the ice every second night. I don't think they do. Their defense is middle of the pack at best, so that's hurting them. They need a goalie because Koskinen can't be your number one. You know, he's okay to split the job. They better find someone to split it with, and hopefully it's an upgrade on Koskinen. So, and they need depth guys up front. What's making Tampa's a really good template, I think, for Oilers fans, because they're very skilled and they score a lot of goals, and they have Hart Trophy and Art Ross Trophy candidates just like Edmonton, and they played an open, freewheeling, fun-to-watch game. Tampa's an awesome club to watch. But how did they get better this year? How did they get to the point where they're in a cup playing against a really tough Dallas team, and they look like they can play this game? They brought in... You know, it's the depth guys that are the difference in their lineup. They brought in Barkley Goodrow. They brought in Blake Como. They brought in Patty Maroon and Zach Bogosian. Those aren't big signings.
Uh-huh.
But they slot everybody in the right place in your lineup, and they give you ability to win some games that aren't 5-2. Sometimes it's 2-1. I'm not saying you walk 2-1 games every night, but I am saying you better be able to win 2-1 games or you're not going anywhere. And Tampa can win those games now. And I think the Oilers should watch what Tampa's doing because they got a lot of skill guys. What they need are some guys that can help them win when it's not a skill game.
Mark, do you think that, look, they got swept in 4 straight games by Columbus last year.
Yep.
So was Tampa Bay an unmitigated disaster or is it hard to win?
Well, it's both. No, they weren't an unmitigated disaster. They were still a good team, but Julian Brisbois, the general manager, took a long look at what he had there, right? Took a long look at what he had, and he said, I'm not blowing this up, but I need to make some changes. And they brought in, well, I just talked about who they brought in, and I think he made the right changes, don't you?
All right, so they had a Vezina Trophy caliber goaltender who had an .860 save percentage against Columbus. They didn't have Victor Hedman in that series, and their top three forwards, who are great forwards, all 90-plus point guys a year ago, terrific,
got nothing done,
nothing, and they lost in 4. And there was no pandemic, and they weren't playing a team that had seasoned veteran champions like Chicago. Does that change how we look? When you think of it that way and now you're seeing, like, the Oilers were not as good this year as Tampa Bay was last, not even close. Edmonton was an 8 through 12 team most of the season. Tampa Bay was one of the best teams in the last 20 years in the NHL.
Yep.
And got completely shut down against Columbus, a team that had never won a playoff series, Mark. It's interesting, isn't it? In terms of, and you know the other thing that happened there, Mark? I'll throw this at you. Their top guys didn't get buried there. They didn't. Did they? I mean, it's a different market. It's the difference between playing in Tampa and playing in Edmonton. In Edmonton, you know, you don't win, you're going to get criticism. Even when the team isn't deep enough, even when the general manager comes in and says, I need a couple of years here to put my plan together because he's got to run some money off. So... Which brings us to another point. Did you see Brian Burke?
Hold on. Let's deal with the last point first. Did their stars get... Their stars didn't get buried there at Tampa. But here's a quote from John Cooper that he just said an hour ago.
Okay.
And the topic was, the question was, how do they get past their issues? How do they get to the point where they can play this type of hockey now? He said, we used to be a team that wasn't good enough to beat you 3-0. We had to beat you 9-0. So we had to change that attitude. Right? He said, if you play that way, especially this time of year, bad things are going to happen. Experience and being humbled can right a ship. I believe last year's experience, we're seeing the fruits of that awful setback last spring. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over. This is John Cooper talking, okay? He says, we needed an attitude adjustment, and it starts with your stars. The guys that are used to putting the pucks in the net. He said, look at Nikita Kucherov. He's getting beat up in game two, and he came back to set up a couple power play goals. He said, when your top guys understand, listen, Bob, when your top guys understand that it's about what you keep out of your net and not what you put into their net, good things will happen, and that's what's gone on so far here.
All right, Mark. There's no question they improved the depth of their team. That's the and giving their team a different look. What was Nikita Kucherov doing in game number one when he was 30 feet outside his own blue line, goal-sucking on a play, looking for a stretch pass from Hedman, and opened up a spot for the defenseman to walk in Alexiak and bury and kill Tampa Bay in that game that night? Is that...
Bob,
so it's a reason. It's a reason. No. You brought the quote up because Tampa Bay is coming off a win. But Nikita Kucherov is the same. Here's the thing. Players on a game-by-game basis, the guys that play the most have a higher ability to influence the game both positively and negatively. So Kucherov showed great character last night. He battled through it. Dallas was undisciplined, and Tampa Bay got the jump in the game, and he got involved in a couple of plays, one on the power play, at least maybe two on the power play, to impact the game. And he's playing hurt. I'm going to give you that right now. I know he's hurt. Like, he's gutting it out, right? And the other thing is, how many years in are we talking here? For Stamkos and Hedman, 10 and 11 years in, right? It takes time, but you got to build your team up to support it so you have a wave. So I would partially agree with you on your point, partially.
It's John Cooper's point, right? That's Cooper saying that.
I know, but it reaffirms your position dating back to when Edmonton got knocked out, that your star players got to understand defense. And the counter to that would be, your star player is produced, you got to build a better team, and the Oilers aren't there yet in terms of building the better team. And you know what? We know Draisaitl and McDavid know that they're going to have to continue to improve in understanding the... I'll throw this at you, Speck, okay? Is this Tampa Bay team, is it easier to sell that message without Stamkos in the lineup?
Oh, I don't know. I think they've done this all. Listen, they got punted out in the first round last year, 4-3 by Columbus, and they took a long look at who they were. And sure, they've been near the top of this thing for a long time. That's a good program in Tampa. They've been knocking on the door of the Eastern Conference Finals here for like 5 years or whatever it is. They're ready to win, you know, more so than the Dallas Stars. Even Rick Bonus would tell you that. So, you know, they're ready to listen to solutions. They're ready to sacrifice whatever needs to be sacrificed here, because all of those guys, and they've got better players. They've got a Victor Hedman. They got Vasilevsky. They got great players. It's a better team. There's no question. No one's saying it's not a better team. But my point is, John Cooper's point is, even with a team as good as Tampa, if your star guys don't figure out that it's about what you keep out of your net instead of what you put in their net, you can't win. Even with Tampa's lineup, you can't win, right? So I would say that with the Oilers lineup, it's truly imperative that everybody figures out that beating you 3-0 is good. You don't need to beat you 9-0 here.
I believe, first of all, I don't like to have the type of team that can consistently beat anybody by outscoring them, because they're not deep enough. They've got to improve the depth. They've squandered assets. I'm the one that works for OEG. I'm telling you that right now. The organization squandered assets. It's affected the depth of this team. And that's something that Ken Holland's going to have to build up. I'll circle back to the goaltending. Tampa, as great a team as they have, they got a Vezina Trophy candidate year in, year out in goal. He puts up an 860 in goal. They ain't winning. And the Oilers had an 860 in goal between the two guys that played against Chicago. And Corey Crawford won one period of the entire series, and that was enough in a short, and again, Mark, in a short series where we hadn't played hockey for 4.5 months against a veteran team that knew how to win and educate some younger players. It's just, I guess it's all about where you're associating the blame. All right, let's see how much time we have here. I want to take a quick timeout, and then we're going to get to something else that works to Tampa's advantage and may not work to Canadian teams' advantage. We'll see whether or not that's a cop-out or a legit factor. Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Bob Stauffer with you in Oilers Now.
Hi, I'm James Neal from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
120 in Edmonton. Quick text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Former defenseman Mark. It's quite the handle. Bob, Mark Spector's commentary is the exact opposite of what the Oilers were in this year's playoffs. The Oilers' best were their best players. The Oilers' star players are not the problem. The defense was crap, says former defenseman Mark. As a former non-NHL defenseman, I wouldn't have made the levels of mistake they made in the series against the Hawks. The D cost them the series, I know, from former defenseman Mark. Mark, to me, they were all in it together. They lost collectively as a team. But thanks for the text. All right, Spec, switch and focus. Here we go. Switch and focus. Brian Burke on Saturday night during the second intermission of Game 1 of the series talked about the fact that Canadian teams haven't won a Stanley Cup and said taxes. He brought up an illustration in a chart between the difference $5 million in Toronto versus $5 million in Vegas, take-home difference of about $500,000 per year. Said as a manager in Toronto, he had to spend $1 million more per to get guys. Mark, is this an excuse or is this a reality of the situation the Canadian teams face?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I think there's a lot of things out there. Money talks. You know, I would say the addendum here is Alan Walsh immediately went on a Twitter rampage talking about ways that Canadian players can save money, retirement compensation agreements, and changing tax reforms, things like that. So I'm not an accountant. I'm not going to play one here, Bob. But yes, in the tax-free states, if you can tell a player he's taking more money home, that's one thing. You know what? Nicer weather, that's another thing. You know what? Some guys don't want to live in the States these days. That's one on our side, right? So all markets are not equal.
Well,
markets are not equal.
Berkey brought that up in the second part of the quote. He talked about the fact that there is some changes that have occurred. Canada's handling of the situation of COVID's better. Canada's safer. He even brought up the attitude towards global warming, Mark, and fires and those sort of things in places like California. I personally believe that I know for a fact because I've had people reach out connected to key free agents that Edmonton's more attractive now than it was even 5 years ago. A lot of guys got a chance to be in the Oilers' dressing room that were here in the Edmonton bubble. Oh, and the Oilers don't just have one Hart Trophy winner. They have two. Do you think it gets easier for Ken Holland right now?
One thing that's out there, the cap is going to help. The flat cap will help teams like Edmonton because there's just not as much choice out there right now for players. There's going to be all kinds of teams, and most of the teams in a lot of Sun Belt locations, Bob, are going to have self-imposed caps. You know, so that helps Edmonton. Edmonton's in a hockey town, and they'll play to the cap every year here. So that's one good thing. Listen. Here's what the only thing that hurts Edmonton, and I'm born and raised in this town, so I can say it. Winter sucks here. It's cold and it's long. And when a free agent moves towns, Bob, it's the wife has a lot to say about it, as she should. If you were to leave town and take a job, any of our listeners, if you're going to a new city, your wife would have a say in the conversation. Well, they do in hockey too. And when the husband gets on a trip to go down to California for 10 days and play all those teams, or to Texas or somewhere nice, guess what? The wife stays at home here in February with the kids. So the weather here, we can't get around. You know, that's just the way it is here. So I think what I've always said, Bob, and I'll stick with it, the Oilers need to have a good enough team so that the free agent says to his wife, honey, we're going to Edmonton because I'm going to win a Stanley Cup up there. If you're just coming here to play hockey and the wife's going to freeze, they'll pick somewhere else to play hockey. If they can win a Stanley Cup in Edmonton because Holland builds a team that looks like it can do that, you'll get any free agent that you need.
As it's turned out, Mark, the weather over the course of the last 2 months, from like August 1st on, it's not going to hurt. Like,
it's not going to help. It's not going to help.
It's not going to help? You don't think?
Players go somewhere else in the summer, Bob. Right?
How many guys
live in Edmonton in June and July and August?
Mark, my point is we've had 12 NHL. Well, no, we've had 14 different teams here.
Yep.
Right? 14 different teams have come in here in August and September, and guys are going, Jesus, it hasn't been that bad.
They live here in August and September.
I know, but right?
Is Connor McDavid in town right now?
Mark, I think there's a perception that guys think it's like tuk-tuk-yuk-tuk 9 months of the year when that's not the case, right?
Maybe.
I don't know. Well, you know what? You're entitled. You have the, what did John Short used to say? You, sir, have the democratic right to be wrong. So. And you often are. So it's 1-1 in the series. Who wins this thing, Dallas or Tampa?
Oh, it's going to go a ways, you know. They're in that struggle, Bob. We've watched this. Everyone watches this. They're struggling over who gets to dictate how we're going to play this series, right? Dallas wants to play one way. Tampa wants to play another way. I think that Tampa might be able to beat Dallas in a, you know, in a bit of a back alley game. I don't think Dallas, if this thing opens up, can play with Tampa, but that's where we're at right now. They played game one Dallas's way. They played a bunch of game two Tampa's way. And, you know, that's who's going to win the series. Whoever can dictate how we're doing this thing. If there's lots of power play time, Tampa wins, right? If we're playing 2-1 hockey and we're gutting it out, probably Dallas wins. So let's see. You know, which way you think it's going to go? Who's going to win the tug of war?
I had Tampa Bay to win the series in 5 games. I'm surprised through the first 2 games how Dallas has looked.
Yeah.
Like I know they got pinned 22-2 shots on goal in game one, but they were in control. They were in control. I'll give you that. I'm with you.
Yeah.
They were in control. They were in control that game. And you know what? Last night, they had their looks, man, when it was 3-2. Like they that. They were. I thought they were done at 3-0, and instead, they kind of hung around a bit, and that's kind of what they've done all year in the playoffs. Mark,
yep.
I'm just going to throw this at you. Edmonton had more points than Dallas, were marginal percentage points behind. You know, could have maybe Edmonton should have been there instead of Dallas in that four hole. Dallas took some games in that round robin to get going, right? They were down 2-1 to the Flames. It could have been down 3-1, scored with 12 seconds left to tie the series up 2-2. Then they get Colorado. If they play Colorado in a traditional playoff, that's who they would have played, 2-3. With Colorado healthy, there's no way I think that Dallas wins that series. Sorry. And then even against Vegas, they got outplayed by Vegas at times, but I'm starting to think Dallas might be a team of destiny, Mark. That's where I'm going.
Well, there's two things here. Jacques Lemaire always used to say in the playoffs, you need injury luck for your team and injury luck for the other team. So that was how they got past Colorado. I'll give you that. But here's what I think Dallas did that maybe a guy should write about at some point. You know, Dallas didn't score any goals all year, right, Bob? You know, what were they? They were second best defensive team, about 26th best offensive team.
Yeah.
So Rick Bowness really had to reinvent what they're going to do to score some goals here. And what he did over the break and coming into this new playoffs, he freed up his defensemen more than any coach I've seen in a long time. You know, who's setting up that overtime goal in Game 7 against Colorado?
Andre Sekera.
Yeah, sitting in his office behind the other team's net. Jamie Oleksiak.
Five goals for Oleksiak.
Yeah, he had a five-goal season once in his career. That's a whole regular season. So what they've I guess the difference between Dallas and Edmonton is, Bob, like Sekera, okay. Oleksiak, okay. They're not great offensive players. But they do have the offensive guns on their back end.
Yeah.
John Klingberg is a better player in this series so far than Miro Heiskanen, in my opinion. And Heiskanen is a fabulous player who's going to win more than one Norris Trophy. So they've freed those defensemen up to score points, join rushes, to make things happen offensively. If Dave Tippett did that with his team, he doesn't have the same bullets in his gun that Rick Bowness has. Is that fair?
At this time. But you know what? Dallas didn't necessarily have that 3 or 4 years ago and came up a little short, and their team progressed and matured, and Heiskanen became the guy. Maybe 2 or 3 years from now, we're talking about the maturation of a Bouchard and Broberg looking at a different Oilers team as well, because they've got players that can make plays like that. Mark, we appreciate your time as always.
That was fun chat, Bobby. We'll talk to you again.
Al May coming up at 1:35. Off to a Global News weather traffic update, Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.